Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you here with us, and we are thankful that you guys are here. I'm thankful that we had Alice Alvey covering the program while I was traveling over Thanksgiving. Thank you, Alice. We've got an action-packed program today, some really good information. I got a teaser for you. In a world where you only have vanilla, how does chocolate taste? Well, we're going to be talking about that. It seems like all the products we have out there today are so vanilla. And right now, we're be excited on our program today. We're going to be introducing some chocolate. You're going to be you're ready for it. You're going to be excited to learn about it. We've got Bob Wexler of New Penn Financial. It's going to be exciting to have him talk to us about the programs and products that are out there. Folks, it's starting to get exciting again. Some new products, new investors coming into it. You'll stay tuned all the way to the end of the program. We'll be getting into that. Also, I just want to say thank you to all our listeners and then also to our sponsors. Also, New Penn Financial is going to become one of our new sponsors as effective today, so welcome to them as a guest, as well as a sponsor to the radio program, as well as to all our other sponsors. You can head over to our website, www.lykenonlending.com, and you'll see all our sponsors, and for any information, you can click there, and for contact information. Without further ado, let's get into what's going on with interest rates. Joe Farr, good to have you with us. What is happening in the world of rates, Joe?
Yeah, unfortunately, not much today. We opened lower and we've stayed lower. Most of that was due to over the weekend. There were some fairly optimistic things coming out of Europe. Leaders have begun forming a plan which would do several things, which would be kind of would be great if they could. In fact, they ought to get us involved in that. One is that they're going to force fiscal discipline among the various nations and with a little bit of central oversight. If they can get that done, that'd be huge. They're going to lever the existing bailout fund, which would be good, adding extra cash there. And then more money from the IMF, and then lastly, they're going to continue to purchase the Italian and Spanish bonds. So all this, the talk of that plan, and it's beginning to feel like it's something's come together anyway, has been a good thing for the market. Stocks are higher this morning. Treasuries and treasury yields are higher. Mortgage-backed security prices are a little lower. We've had a great run in the Dow, haven't we? We're
yeah,
up almost over 900
really,
points
man.
In the last week.
Yeah.
In addition, over the weekend, Italy passed an austerity measures to balance the budget by 2013. Let's hope that they're successful there. And this morning, so far, the only two economic events came out that kind of broke the trend. Last week, we had a whole bunch of economic announcements that exceeded expectations. The two this morning, both factory orders and the Institute of Supply Management Services Index, were a little short of expectations. So, but so far, you know, today has been a sideways day, started lower, and pretty much has stayed there.
Well, what is that's today? You know, where do we? What do we? You kind of ran through a little bit of last week. I'm multitasking because, folks, we're also doing a campus MBA webinar, so I apologize. I'm wrapping up as I exit the webinar to do the program. Let's talk about what we have to look forward this week. I know there's very little economic announcements coming forward this week, but give us a rundown of what is going to affect the market.
Well, Europe's going to affect the market more than anything this week. There's a ECB meeting on Thursday and a Eurozone summit on Friday. And so most of the markets this week will be focused on that. As I mentioned last week, economic results were all very good relative to expectations, including the jobs report that came out on Friday. There was so much came out last week, it's not surprising that there's very little this week, jobless claims on Thursday and consumer sentiment on Friday. But you know, the eyes are going to be on Europe, and that's going to drive things. One interesting thing to note of last week, Dave, was that with the big rise in the stock market, with a big rise in the required yield for the 10-year, mortgage-backed security prices improved. Mortgage rates fell just a little bit. And, you know, it's odd that it reacted yeah. that way, but it seems in sort of the market talk is that there is a growing expectation that there'll be a QE3 here, and yep. that QE3 will be as it relates to investing in mortgage-backed securities. So the expectation of added demand in the future has caused MBS prices to remain where they were or actually improve just a bit over a week when you would have expected them to go the other way.
That is interesting. That is, you know what, there's economic data is being driven by Europe, and then some of the things that seem to be drivers are not, and other things that are not.
It's an odd time. Yeah.
It's an odd time. Interesting time. Certainly very interesting times economically. I had a great conversation with Doug Duncan on Friday. Doug's from my hometown in Minnesota where I grew up, and we had a chance to visit with him. We visit at many on a regular basis and talk about economics. It's so fascinating to listen to him talk about that, but he's basically saying the same thing. Very interesting times, very interesting points. We're going to have him on the radio program along with, on the 19th of December, we're going to have Jay Brinkman, the MBA chief economist. Really excited about having him on here in a couple weeks, so it'll be good to hear about that. So, Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate
sure.
it. Anything else for our audience today?
No, that's it.
Well, folks, we appreciate you being listening. Stay tuned. Remember, you're going to hear about some chocolate in the vanilla world. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. As we do each and every week, and we get so much feedback on this segment, is we get and track the legislative update. Well, the we is Alice and her team. We're very, very excited to have Alice with us, a part of the program each and every week, and then also the fill-in host. She fills these shoes, and the feedback I get is so positive. Thank you so much, Alice. But let's talk about what is going on, HUD's. Final condition or financial condition is what I'm reading on your notes. I didn't mean to. Maybe it was a Freudian slip. Final condition, financial condition. I don't think we're done with HUD. Hopefully they're going to make it. What you have for us today on their financial condition?
Well, I wanted to start with the fact that on December 1st, the Secretary of HUD, Sean Donovan, spoke before the House Financial Services Committee, and you know it's interesting the part that hits the papers versus when I get into it and start reading the actual printed testimony, which you can find on the MBA's website, I'm looking for hints, like what's going to happen to those of us on the ground, right? Is
yeah.
he making any statements that are going to affect our underwriting guidelines or the ability for the product to be around? So he always says great things. It's always good to hear how much business FHA has done, so it's worth it for those of you who like a little background on that. You know, FHA's insured $236 billion in mortgages
billion.
In the fiscal year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's over 770,000 home buyers, over 75% of whom were first-time home buyers. So, you know, there's some great statistics out there. Their average credit score is increasing, so that's always good news, too, compared to in 2008, really less than 10% had better than a 700 credit score. So that's the case that they keep making, that it's really legacy loans from 2008 and the down payment assistance programs that's causing the problems. What is in the fine print is that we should expect a final rule coming out soon related to seller concessions. The proposed rule, if you remember, was out there for quite some time, FHA proposing to reduce seller maximum concessions from 6% down to a lower number. Well, the Mortgage Bankers Association and many others went back to say, look, you can't take it all the way down to 3. We need a little bit more in there, you know, to help us in the housing market. So we're hoping they come back with the final rule around the 4% range. I don't think we'll get anything higher. They're not going through all this just to get it down to 5. So we'll either see them down at 4, maybe somewhere between 4 and 3, not less than 3. We don't expect them to go less than the Fannie and Freddie for high LTV loans. So, and maybe they will have a tiered approach for the high LTV, maybe keeping it at 3%. If we get below 95, maybe you know, we can get 4% back. Most of my customers say as long as we can still hit that 4%, you know, it'll still be good for the purchase transaction. So watch for that. We do expect that that's coming out soon. Also within there, in his comments, I thought it was interesting on the state of Ginnie Mae. You know, Ginnie Mae brings a profit to the taxpayers every year. You know, I didn't know that they had a flawless record on that. And I know you work a lot with Ginnie Mae, so I thought that was interesting that they contributed, they earned more than $1.2 billion in profits for the U.S. in 2011. So let's go Ginnie Mae. All right, a couple other quick updates here. I wanted to let you know the Supreme Court did hear the arguments on RESPA. That was just a few days ago. Actually, it was the 28th that they heard the arguments on RESPA. You know, back and forth, the way the judges comment and respond and ask questions, you don't really know which way they're leaning. In this particular case, it's the First American Financial Corporation versus Denise Edwards litigation case. And it's really over a $455 title fee, you know, in the connection of, I know.
Amazing.
So, all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we'll find out kind of when we get some final opinions here. Mine is not to guess where the judges will land, but certainly help us a little bit in some interpretation over split fees and definition of kickbacks. So we'll be watching that closely. It'll take some time before the judges actually give us an answer. And then in terms of bills, there isn't a lot of movement. We're still waiting to see if anything will move forward on the Fannie Freddie bills, if there's any future for them. My guess is hopefully that starts to get a little more steam at the beginning of the year. And then, of course, December 1st was our UAD, ULDD, UMDP, right? So if you have to deal with this every day, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who have no idea what I just said, you must not have anything to do with appraisals. So the Uniform Appraisal Data Set, which we've all seen now on appraisals since September, has now, as of effective December 1st, all applications that will be delivered to Fannie and Freddie after mid-March, March 19th, will have to be delivered through the Uniform Loan Delivery Portal. So it's a Uniform Mortgage Data Portal, UMDP. All appraisals and their data must be cleared through the portal before you're going to get paid on that shipped loan. So December 1st is application dates as of now. Hopefully you have a process in place where you're running them through the portal to check for the errors. Watch for errors and make sure that you're working with your appraisers to get those solved. We do expect in the coming months we'll start to get more fatal errors, but as of now we're just getting a lot of warning messages. So for those of you who have any questions about that, don't hesitate to give us a call. And that's my update for today, Dave.
No big legislative changes this week.
No.
I think we probably have enough going on out there that this is just plenty to digest. So thank you so much for bringing up the. I think it is note. I thought it was interesting to note that Ginnie Mae was as profitable as it was, and probably record profits, record earnings, and that's a balance to the concerns about HUD. So it was something to watch. I'm not really as worried about HUD going away. Certainly there's going to bring some action, probably more regulation if HUD struggles more. But I don't think we're going to see HUD go away. Fannie and Freddie are another matter. If it gets privatized, we'll have to see what happens with this election. Certainly never been a time for many reasons to get involved in your favorite candidate and start moving forward and ask them, I'm asking every candidate I have, what is your plan to fix the housing and the finance industry? And I ask them how much they know about it. I'm shocked the few that know much about it. But Alice, thank you so much for bringing what you have to us today. By the way, Tony Garitano will be with us later in the program. He'll be talking a little bit about the appraisal, what the changes that are coming down, how is technology responding to it? So you're going to stay tuned all the way through to the end of the program to hear Tony's comments, because he's got an update from a technology standpoint of what's going on. The Profit Doctor will not be with us this week. He's traveling and talking at a conference. Talk about that a little bit later on. But so we're going to be going to our guests. So after this break, we'll be right back. Talk to you soon.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
I'm chuckling because we're obviously doing some multitasking here. We just wrapped up a Campus MBA webinar on production. And so we've been doing those on Tuesdays, and the NBA moved it to Monday, and so it overlapped on the radio program just a bit. So if you think I'm sounding a little distracted, I was. That is concluded, and now the radio program has my full attention, and we're excited to be here. By the way, there's one more session next week. If you want to go to Campus MBA website, learn more about it. We're talking about coaching and hire the right managers. Tune in, go to the Campus MBA website to learn more about that. As I said, Andy Schell is in Las Vegas, actually, teaching continuing education on to the CPAs of the world. He speaks to CPAs and a lot of those involved in the industry. We're very excited and honored that he is out there and has the opportunity to train CPAs auditing our industry. Gives you a little insight into the caliber of the individual that we have on the program each week, along with Joe and Alice. A good group of lineup of our regulars. And we specifically look for hot trends, what's going on in the industry. And we all know just how much of a vanilla world we've been living in. We've been dealing with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and HUD, and if it don't fit, you're just dead. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of alternatives. I mean, in the last business cycle, the subprime market got crazy, and that all shut down. And we've been needing something, a sane product out there to begin to help that product that's just outside of agency. Our new sponsor and our guest today is Bob Wexler of New Penn Financial. We're very excited to have Bob with us, as well as not just as a guest and as a sponsor, but more because, as much as anything, because of what his company is bringing to our industry. It's one of the most exciting developments and encouraging developments that I see that has developed in this sense of the contraction, and we're excited to have him here. Bob has been a 20-year veteran of the mortgage industry and has extensive credit experience. He is responsible for day-to-day operations there at New Penn, specifically for wholesale and correspondent lending. He is also responsible for risk management, quality control, sales, and marketing. And in the spare time, I think he coaches his kids or something. I mean, he's one busy guy. He has his hands full, to say the least. We are thrilled to have him be here. He's got an extensive background in the industry. And, Bob, it is a real honor to have you on the program. And I am as excited to have you here, but hear more about the products you have. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. And just for the record, it's Cub Scouts, not necessarily coaching baseball.
Okay. Well, I don't know. If you're handling Cub Scouts in addition to all the else you're doing, borderline supernatural there. That's outstanding. Bob, tell us a little, our listeners, about New Penn Financial. Some people know of you out there. You guys are doing a lot of emailing out, doing a great email campaign. But tell our listeners who you are and start with your beginnings. When you start?
Sure. Well, New Penn is really a state-licensed, non-depository mortgage banker. That's at the heart. That's really what we are. We
I like the word non-depository. That's warm.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity. We started in 2008 primarily as a conforming FHA direct consumer mortgage banker. In 2011, we were purchased by a company called ShellPoint Partners. ShellPoint is it's an LLC, and ShellPoint is roughly a third owned by ShellPoint and New Penn Management. The other third is the ownership is a large pension fund, and the last third is the ownership is by Lou Ranieri and his company Ranieri Partners. That's generally and roughly the makeup of who ShellPoint is. So it's a third New Penn.
Can I let me interrupt you there, Bob, because I'm not sure everybody in our industry or in our listening audience understands the significance of one of those parties. And I just want to really emphasize this. I mean, we track smart money and what they've done, but you've got one name in there specifically, Lou Ranieri, who most in our radio listening audience recognize him to be the father of mortgage-backed securities. The fact that he has made an investment in your company and is getting involved in this non-conforming paper is a significant development. It's significant what you're doing, Bob, what your company is doing, but what's so significant is who is behind it. I know you're a great professional, but I don't know about you and I, but you and I didn't start the mortgage-backed security. He did. He watches trends. He's a very sharp guy. Folks, listeners, I'm telling you, this is a significant development that I believe that you need to pay attention to. So I want to just highlight that for everyone in their mind. We have, backing this company, Lou Ranieri, the father of the mortgage-backed security, and very, very smart guy. So tell us a little bit more. So we got the understanding about who the ownership is about. Tell us a little bit more about your goals and your objectives, where you guys are really focusing the future and where you position yourself, Bob.
Sure. Well, the goal is really simple. The goal for ShellPoint and New Penn is to make agency and, more importantly, non-agency loans and to securitize them. That's the goal.
You're doing both agency and non-agency, so you could be the one-stop shop.
New Penn is originating agency, and now that we have the ShellPoint acquisition, we're rolling out this non-agency product, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But the overview is the way it's structured is New Penn is the origination channel. ShellPoint is the finance company that will own the non-agency loans on our balance sheet. That's the overall structure of what it looks like. We hold them on the balance sheet until the market comes back for securitization. And we're hoping that we'll get a securitization done next year. That's the goal in the most simple way.
Again, well, the trends are that the mortgage-backed securities are trading well. And I think there's a lot of interest. Give us a little sense of the history. You guys been at the correspondent business for a long time, or is that a relatively new part of the business?
It's brand new. The wholesale operation has been up and running really only since January. The goal in wholesale is to set up a platform for agency and non-agency paper. Our correspondent group really just started about 60 days ago, and the only goal in correspondent is to go out and acquire this particular non-agency product. And we've only been doing it for 60 days, so it's literally brand new.
So brand new. That's made up there. Alice, let's turn the mic over to you and let you get in with a few questions.
Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here, and it sounds very exciting. We're always happy to hear that there's something else besides Fannie and Freddie and FHA out there. So with QRM and risk retention, what are some of the risks you're facing today? You have a lot out there, a lot of uncertainty out there then for these products.
Uncertainty is the right word. I think that so many things are unsettled, and the non-agency MBS space will be very lethargic through 2012. But, we don't know. There's a lot of regulatory uncertainty. We don't know. Dodd-Frank is still unresolved. The final rules on risk retention and the definition of QRM are not really finalized yet. So we might be required to hold much more capital. We don't know. That's a huge risk. We also don't know of the fate of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We think it could be an opportunity for companies like New Penn, ShellPoint, but we just don't know. So really, basically, I think that general clarity on the regulatory front is really the main risk of jumping into the non-agency space today.
It doesn't sound like you're afraid of it, that risk.
Well, we're hoping we're managing it correctly.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, this is Joe. It makes me question, why now? I mean, why not let those issues resolve themselves and get into it?
Well, look at the general market. You know, you've got affordability at an all-time high. You've got home sales that are projected to grow over the next few years. Housing formation is expected to climb. There's lots of opportunities today with investment properties. And really, most importantly, the driving factor here is that the government share of the mortgage origination market is expected to decline. It has to go somewhere, you know. And I don't think living in a world of strictly agency paper, I think there's lots of opportunities outside of that. I think there's good, prudent lending out there that can happen outside of agency guidelines.
There's no question that the timing of this is, I think, perfect. I think that's the fact that Lou Ranieri saw the opportunity, made an investment in a very good company, and I think that's really exciting for that. Alice, I know that you always are interested in products. I think you have a couple of thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the product looks like. Can you give us some details on about the product itself?
Yeah, it's out on the street. We're originating the product today. And the product really is very interesting. And the way I always approach it is I talk about first what the product is not. I think it when you're talking about non-agency, everything comes to mind with non-agency. Is it subprime? Is it this? Is it that? Is it Alt-A? Let's talk about first what it's not. So it's not poor credit history. It's not ignoring the ability to pay or any facts on the loan. It really is. It's a full underwrite. Very heavy emphasis on credit, assets, reserves. We're really focused on high credit quality borrowers for this particular program. So any ideas of subprime or Alt-A or no income verified or things like that is not the case here. I just want to be very clear about that. It is a fully documented loan. It's a very strong credit quality borrower. They just happen to have some sort of non-conforming quality to them. You know, they have a short-term self-employment, they have a high debt ratio, things like that. So if you ask me, well, there is non-conforming out there, people do jumbo loans, that's true. So what would separate New Penn? And really, the niches come down to something like this. We'll do 85% LTV to $1 million with no MI. Think of that as like your base product. We do conforming balance loans, so it's not just a jumbo product. We do loans from $100,000 up to $2 million. We do foreign nationals. I think that is a huge market opportunity for any of your listeners out there who have the opportunity or understand the foreign national market or want to talk about that. Foreign nationals is a great product. We do that to 65%. We're very strong with non-owner occupies. The agency guidelines on properties financed is 10. And some investors have overlays to 4. We allow 20 properties financed. We do higher debt ratios. Our debt ratios can go up to 58% on the back end for the right borrower with very strong reserves. We have some relaxed rules around calculating self-employment income. It's all verified, but you know, we may look at short-term self-employment. We may look at unique or seasonal situations, things like that with calculating income. We have something really exciting called Assets for Income.
Assets for Income. Wow.
It is kind of cool. It's a way to use a borrower's very strong assets to add supplemental income to their qualifying ratios. So if you have a borrower with, you know, X $100,000 in, you know, assets somewhere, we have a calculation that we go through that we can actually add back in some supplemental income to help their qualifying ratios. So it's not pledged. It's not asset depletion or anything like that. It's just it's for the right borrower with the right reserves, we'll allow a little expanded debt ratios up to 58% using that income. They don't have to, like I said, it's not pledged, so they don't have to liquidate it. It's just there, verified, and we use it to determine supplemental income.
Is that a formula you actually publish, so it's something that an originator can do ahead of time, or is it really just case by case in a manual underwriting world?
It's a formula. And we publish it. Yeah, absolutely. Basically, it's, you know, we take 60% of the reserves and we divide it by half the loan term and come up with a number, and that's the number that we add back into to supplemental qualifying ratios. But we limit it. Like, it can't be more than 25% or $3,000 per month. So we never want to get into a situation where it ends up being a stated income loan. You know, just because the guy has all these assets, all of a sudden it becomes sort of stated income because you're using all those assets in this calculation. So we limit it to 25% or $3,000 per month. Other examples of things that separate us, you know, we'll do properties with deferred maintenance. There's no CO that's necessarily required. We allow a 6% seller assist on any occupancy. So even if it's a non-owner occupied or second home, Alice, you were talking earlier about FHA possibly dropping that, you know,
right,
to 4% or something. We will allow 6% on any occupancy as long as the LTV is 80% or less, which is really most of our product anyway. We only have one bucket that goes to 85. So it's things like this. It's these little niches or nuances of the product that really separate it out from agency. You may look at it and say, well, why would I do a $400,000 or $300,000 conforming balance loan under this program? Well, you may need a 6% seller assist, or you may have deferred maintenance, or you may have some self-employment income situation, or you may have, you know, more than 10 properties financed, and you can't go through agency guidelines. This is where that product picks up. We like to say we sort of complement or pick up where other people leave off. And it tends to be more of a product play than a price play. You know, we're mm-hmm. not out there trying to compete with the largest conduits out there looking for the lowest 5-year ARM jumbo product. That's not really what we're looking for. Our product is going to be a little bit higher coupon, but in exchange for that, it's going to give you a lot of flexibility on your matrix. It's going to allow you, if I'm the secondary marketing guy and I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, all right, well, this is great because I can really expand my matrix. I can expand my offering on what I'm offering to my customers.
Now, do you include non-warrantable condos? What about condos?
That's a great question. The quick answer is yes, but before everyone gets all excited about that, I like to call it non-warrantable-ish. It's sort of like non-warrantable. So we step out of agency guidelines in like five buckets, you know, and it's nothing like you want to hear, like no pre-sales or things like that. Let me take a step back. If you're talking non-warrantable, number one, you have to have a certain criteria. So number one, you have to have at least a 700 score. You have to be no higher than 70% LTV, standard debt ratios, and it can only be it can be owner or non-owner occupied. But once you meet that basic criteria, there's really five things where we step out of non-warrantable. For example, we can have 60% investor concentration when you're doing an investment property. I think Fannie's 50. A single entity can own up to 20% of the units in a project. Reserves are okay to 8%. I think Fannie's 10. We allow some leeway in homeowners association delinquencies. And we look at frivolous litigation a little bit differently and more favorably. So it's not what you really want to hear, and I know everyone's saying, oh my God, that's great, non-warrantable condos, you know, 0% pre-sale, and let me just send everything. We're non-warrantable-ish. We have it, but I'm really hesitant to call it non-warrantable because we only step out in a couple areas.
Most of our listeners...
Yeah, go ahead, Joe, please.
Most of our listeners are going to have to park a loan that they make under your guidelines with a warehouse bank for some period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to be approved. Where do you stand with that, and are you finding warehouse banks receptive to your program?
That is a great question. Yes, there is some limited availability today with a few warehouse lenders. We spend a lot of time talking to these guys. If there's any one listening who is with a warehouse lender or a bank who does warehousing, I would love to talk to you. But, yeah, that is one of the main challenges right now. We're approved. The product is approved with three lenders, Texas Capital, Atlantic Coast Bank is a small guy in Florida, and Bank of America. So there is some limited liquidity for the product. We have several more pending. There's a few more big ones that we have lined up. But as you guys understand, it's, you know, they have to understand it too, because really what it comes down to is New Penn is almost going to be a single takeout, and mm-hmm. for the warehouse lenders to really get comfortable with the product, we have to make them feel comfortable with what we're buying and how we're buying it and the process that we're buying it. And we understand the constraints here. So we're really we're setting up the operations so we can really fund these loans very quickly. We want them off, you know, we want to get the files in and get them purchased very quickly so the warehousing is sort of less of an issue.
Prior to their warehouse banks becoming approved, can they use the wholesale channel?
Sure. We actually have a defined program where someone can come in and as a wholesale customer for a period of time, get to know the product, get to know the process, and certainly the people, and then graduate, so to speak, to a correspondent as the liquidity gets better.
I guess the next question would be, how's it underwritten? And once a loan is made, is it something that there's not much chance that you wouldn't buy?
Every file is pre-approved. So
okay.
Every file that comes in is going to be looked at by our underwriting group, and we're going to give a clear-to-close approval on it. We don't delegate anyone, and I don't think anyone in their right mind today would want to be delegated.
No.
I think that the warehouse lenders are going to require it, and I think that even as the mortgage banker, I would want to be extra careful on a single takeout loan. But we provide all that service, so we'll actually clear the file all the way through clear to close.
That is an important point, especially it gives great comfort to the warehouse lenders who I've gotten on board. Compliments to the warehouse lenders and any warehouse lenders. We have a number of them listening to the radio program. I encourage you to get a hold of them. Let's give a phone number out right now. We're going to give it again, and it's also up on our website. But let's write down a phone number. You can learn more information. We're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to get this phone number out to you. 888-400-1884. 888-400-1884 is the phone number. You're going to be able to call and learn all about this information. Also, you can go to their website. But I will get into this in greater detail. We're going to get after the break. We're going to talk about marketing, how to market it, what kind of companies are they looking for, what does it take to get approved to these guys, what are the standards. A lot of questions, a lot more on this very exciting development and interest in our industry and in the secondary markets. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken. We have as our special guest today Bob Wexler, Vice President of New Penn Financial, talking about a very exciting development for our industry in a world that's been all vanilla, all Fannie Freddie, FHA, VA, very few selections. We're beginning to see some new products come to market. We have Bob Wexler on the program with us. Alice, I've already started getting some tweets in here from people or some messages. IMs coming in. This is exciting. Want to know more, but can I get approved? And so, Alice, I know the big part of the process is getting people approved. Let's go there.
Yeah, who is the profile of the company that you're targeting, Bob?
I'm sorry, Alice, I couldn't hear you.
Profile of the title of the company that you're looking to
get on board? Good question. Sure. Generally, we're looking at tangible net worth of $2.5 million or higher for correspondent. But like I said, warehousing is sort of a challenge for some people. So our correspondent sales group are generally looking for larger mortgage bankers, depositories, or someone who can self-fund or has limited need for warehousing. But at a minimum, it's $2.5 million tangible net worth for correspondents. But like we talked about earlier, we have a wholesale division that also is signing up new clients, and those requirements are a little bit easier. And we have a process where a wholesale client can come in, get acclimated, get used to the product and the process, and sort of graduate to the correspondent program when they're ready.
It's a great way to go about it, too, is to really get familiar with it on a wholesale basis. And a lot of companies, you know, struggle with, you know, we're all banker, and so we don't broker. Well, I tell you, this may be one exception you may want to make because of already what we talked about. Bob, let's talk about marketing. Let's talk about the – it sounds like this product is only half the battle, just knowing the product. What are you wanting from your clients that you're signing up? Is there any specific things about the way they should focus on marketing this product?
Yeah, you know, this is it's a unique product for today's market, and really understanding the product is only half the battle. The other half the battle is now that you've got the new toy, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to push it out to the street? So I alluded to earlier foreign nationals. I think the foreign national market is a really great opportunity. You know, we live in a global marketplace, and there's a saying, I think I picked it up on NAR's site or something, but real estate may be local, but the buyers are not. Last year,
$82 billion, or 8.1%
of all homes purchased in 2011 were to recent immigrants or foreign national buyers. That's a pretty significant share of the market that if you're not going after or ignoring, that's you know, maybe it's because there's no financing available. And that's really the number one complaint that realtors have is, I have all these foreign national buyers, but there's no financing available for you. Well, if I'm listening to the show and I'm looking for opportunities for my company, I would think, wow, that's really interesting.
Huge. Yeah. Obviously,
right,
there's
now the product's out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I would say, with our product, you now have the ability to go out there and make a difference to your loan officers who are visiting realtors.
And so you should see some of the comments that are coming across here, Bob. There's a lot of people going, finally, it's exciting. All right. Okay, let's talk about some of the top markets. When you talk about the foreign national markets, some markets like California, Arizona, and Florida, Texas come to mind. Talk a little bit about, you know, the markets that you're focused in. Are you eliminating any markets? Are you saying there's any markets you won't lend in and some that you are focused more so on?
We're licensed all over the country. We're not in four states. We'll do foreign nationals in every market that we're in. So that's not really a limiting factor for us at all.
Good. Is there any countries that are more problematic, or is there any limitations as it relates to dealing with the foreign nationals that we need to know about?
OFAC, if you're familiar with OFAC. And we scrub every borrower, every party to the transaction through OFAC. So if any party to this transaction, the buyer, the seller, the realtor, the bank, the whatever it is, if they come up on OFAC, it's a no-go.
All right, we got someone tweeting, saying, okay, tell us what OFAC is. I don't know what it is. So if you could explain to our listeners what that is.
The Office of Financial Assets and Control. I think it's part of Homeland Security, and they have a way to scrub against, terrorists or bad guys, you know. And if they're on that list, then they can't be party to this transaction.
You don't want to be party to those people anyway, so that's right.
No, you don't. You don't.
No,
but
there's to be a part of that.
There's a big marketing push for foreign national buyers, and if you're talking to the realtors out there, you let them know that you have a product that does foreign national, I think it's going to give you an inroad into that particular real estate office.
There are specific reasons why foreign nationals come here and are a good part of the market. Let's run through some of those, Bob.
Sure. I mean, they come here for – this is the land of opportunity, right? They come here for job transfers. So, you know, think about international companies that are based in your market. You know, you have people coming in. You have Canadians coming over here a lot looking to buy recreation property, mostly in Arizona and Florida. Think about college towns. If you live near a college town, your company is in or near a college town, parents of college students that come from international countries are prime candidates because they're buying investment properties or they're buying second homes or they're buying houses for their kids to live in. These are all really great marketing opportunities for a foreign national product.
Yeah, it's a great product. I flew into Arizona recently and rode with an investor, a guy from Australia, and he was in buying 1,500 homes. And he said, the big problem, we're paying cash for these because we can't find financing. Well, I got his email address. I'm not sure you got ready for 1,500 new loans, but the reality is that these guys are – and they're also turning around, flipping them out to other people in their country, in Australia. So there's a lot of market here. I think it's very, very exciting, this component. Let's talk a little bit about the realtors. The biggest challenge they've had in getting property moving is there's been no financing. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of realtors, there's a lot of homes in foreclosure. There's a lot of scratch and dent homes out there. Those houses aren't going anywhere because no one will do the financing on it. Our product is unique in the sense that we allow deferred maintenance. So all of those scratch and dent homes that the realtors are sitting on can now really be moved because there's financing available that won't require escrows or the work to be done up front. We can deduct it from the value and kind of work our LTVs off of the net value. But I think that's a compelling marketing
piece to
realtors is, you know, we can provide the financing for foreign national. We can provide financing for scratch and dent homes. If you're on the Fannie Mae list of REO approved realtor list, I think that you're going to want to target those realtors because you can go into them with something a little bit different than just dropping off rate sheets and a donut and say, can I have business?
Joe, this has got to be encouraging to your listeners and many of the originators that contract with you or use your service that for the first time they've got something to go out and start talking about. I mean, start getting their realtors excited to pick up the phone. I mean, we've been telling everyone what we can't do. For the first time we've got a product, we can start talking about what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of other, I guess, just broad descriptions. Bob, I assume that you do 30-year fixed-rate loans, 15-year loans, pretty much the same types of terms as you'd get from the agencies?
We do. We do fixed-rate loans. We do ARMs as well. The market tends to be favoring the fixed-rate loans today.
Sure. Let me ask, just give us a ballpark. We're not talking about rates that are 3, 4, 5% over your current conforming rates.
It's about a point and a quarter. It's about 125 over conforming, roughly. And it's a layered risk product. So if it's a higher LTV or if it's a higher loan, a really higher loan amount, or if it's a foreign national, if there's some aspect of the risk, then it's going to be a little bit higher. But generally, it's about 125 over conforming.
But these people aren't in a position to be too picky about rate, are they? They're looking for the money.
And I was going to jump in and say, that's really not a huge spread over conforming considering the alternative, which is exactly what you're talking about. Let's talk a little bit about the builders and developers. I'm looking at the clock. We have just about 3 minutes here before we have to end this segment, Bob. But let's talk about some of the other areas, the uniquenesses that you cover. We cover as much ground as we can on making people aware of where we're at.
Sure. The one of the important parts about this product is getting it out to the market. So you're talking we give you something to talk about with realtors, builders, developers, financial planners, accountants. Those guys talk about or have customers with high net worth borrowers. So we do these loans to $2 million. We do self-employed borrowers. If you're looking for business from banks or servicers, that's a great potential. Banks are looking to shrink their balance sheet. They're looking to lower their assets to help their Tier 1 ratios. So if they're looking to shed assets, you could go into these banks and say, hey, I can take some of these loans off your books. I can refinance them into this product. And banks would be a great referral source for you. If you're a call center, think about the opportunities with, the Google AdWords campaigns, direct mail pieces, things like that. Marketing the product is really the most important part of getting. Just getting it to get it is one thing, but really – getting your hands around it and getting it out there into the market is another.
I'm going to assume that you're going to be one of the criteria you're going to be interested in is people that want – you're going to get flooded with applications, hopefully as a result of this radio program. But at some point in time, you got to take a real interest as how people are going to market that. Is that going to be one of the criteria you're going to be looking at as you look to approve in an onslaught – but maybe an onslaught of people wanting to sign up with you?
Yeah, there's two criteria besides the basic criteria of just net worth and things like that, but having warehousing ability to do it, and number two is marketing. Absolutely.
And, well, this is obviously a great program for those banks that can self-fund this thing and are not having, it's not subject to financing. But this is a tremendous development. We're very excited, folks. Write down this phone number again that you can go to, call, and get specific information, detailed information. We got a group of people standing by ready to take your call. It's 888-400-1884. Again, 888-400-1884. And if you're driving in the car and unable to write that down, please don't write while you're driving. You can go to our website of the radio program, Lickin' on Lending, www.lickinonlending.com, and the phone number is in the ad that they have up there on our website. Bob, thank you so much for being a part of this. We would like to have you come back regularly and just give us brief updates on developments as the program grows and the success of it. So not only as having you on as a sponsor, we're thrilled to have you as a new sponsor, but more importantly, I'd like to have you keep bringing back updates of what's going on. Give us examples of how this is being used. This is excellent. We appreciate it so much, Bob.
Thank you. It was great to be here. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you back here. If you heard me chuckling over that last ad, and I want to add a line to that last Wetzel Trot ad. I'll say this. And if you want to have your quality control done by a really cool group of people that are a lot of fun to get to know, they're serious professionals. You got to get a hold. Got to get to know Jen Wetzel. What a lot of fun, a true professional, and top at her game. Well, let's go over to, we have Tony Garitano on the line. Tony, it's good to have you be with us each and every week. We've missed you for a while there. I know you had snow, you had hurricane, you've had about every kind of calamity that could go on in the Northeast up there, but it's good to have you back on. I know Al's talked a little bit earlier about this appraisal update. How do you see this being handled by a lot of lenders, Tony?
I think they're ready for it, Dave. I mean, what I've been hearing from the vendor community and from the AMC community is that there was a lot of education leading up to the deadline, that there's a lot of technology out there, and that vendors are getting it, AMCs are getting it, and lenders are realizing that it's a priority. So I hope you don't get a lot of false positives.
Yeah, so they've been listening to the radio program, all of them, what you're saying, been listening to Alice talk about this, and so it's going to happen. Alice, what's your thoughts on some of the complications are? Any thoughts for Tony?
Well, Tony, how are the appraisers coping with it in that side of the software? I know you're on the technology side. You know, it seems like people had a lot of hiccups to start with, and a lot of my customers are saying they feel like they've gotten through all that. Do you see that's the case too?
I think so, Alice. I mean, appraisers, as you know, are very much a product of their individual process, similar to lenders, but I think that they're a little bit more stuck in their process than even lenders are. And this really does change the process for them. It changes their ability to make notations the way they used to make them. So they did have a lot of adjusting to do. So it doesn't surprise me that they were a little bit slow to adopt, but the AMCs that I speak to and the technology vendors that I speak to reach both appraisers and lenders, which is really good because they're serving basically the whole spectrum of the loan process. So they can educate both constituencies at the same time. And I think that it took appraisers, to your point, a little bit longer than it took the lenders, but they realize that it's a priority, and I'm seeing them getting on board.
Well, that's good.
That is good. That is very important. Joe, do you want anything to chime in on this on the appraisal side?
Well, I was curious about the big guys, the appraisal management companies. They're all
yeah,
pretty
exactly.
much on board, right?
Yeah, what happened was Veros, who is in charge of the portal that the appraisals have to be delivered into the GSEs, they did a lot of individual training with the big AMCs and the big lenders leading up to the deadline. Some of the medium-sized to small guys complained a little bit that they didn't get the same individual attention. So the big guys got a little bit more hand-holding.
So the overall thoughts is that it looks like this is going to go off fairly well, is what you're anticipating, Tony?
I think it's going to go off fairly well, and I'm happy that the GSEs are finally starting to mandate a more data-driven process. I think that you're going to see ULDD next year, where they start mandating an even more data-centric process. This was just step one, so get ready for step two, and
right.
hopefully... We'll be doing e-mortgages before you know it.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah, stay tuned. Alice will be talking about it. We have Tony on each and every week. Thank you so much. You can learn more about Tony and the excellent publication that he has as Progress in Lending. And Tony, if I have it right, it's www.progressinlending.com, correct?
Correct. Come see us.
Good. Come see it. Great articles in there. I write in there regularly. It's good to be affiliated with you, Tony. Thank you so much for bringing us an update. We'll look forward to having you on next week.
Thank you, Dave. See you guys next week.
You bet. Allison, Joe, it's encouraging to see some of the developments here. I want to get our final thoughts up from each of you. Start with you, Joe. Well, you've got a lot of listeners. The hot topic today with what New Penn is doing has got to be an encouragement to many of your listeners. What's your thoughts, Joe?
Well, it's got to be, Fannie and Freddie are going to go away, and this is a step in the right direction. Obviously, private capital's got to come in to replace it. It's great to see that it's beginning, and the New Penn's timing's got to be pretty good, and that they're going to be one of the first ones out there. There are people they compete with, but they're sure not as many as we need in the marketplace to make it a viable, complete, liquid market. So glad to see it starting.
Glad to see it starting, too. And I think it's what's most significant about that, Joe, is the fact that Lou Ranieri made the investment in here. There's a lot of people trying to come in, but that is a significant data point to me, at least in my mind. A smart guy like that that watches the markets for as many years as he has made a significant investment in a mortgage company to begin to go after that product. Alice, your thoughts?
Well, I just hope operationally that folks on the operations side didn't settle into going, I like that it's just Fannie, Freddie, and FHA going through my system right now. I hope folks realize this is a critical component that we have to get restarted in the market and to embrace this operationally to say, to Bob's point, marketing, you name it, we're ready to roll and operations being ready to support it. So I think, from what he discussed, it sounds like it'll be a different process through a normal operation back to some of the old ways we used to do.
That's right. That's great. Well, good point. You always think on the operational side. We appreciate it. Folks, we got to go. Time the program
group, right?
Over. We just got to say thank you to each of you listening. Also, a thank you to our new sponsor, New Penn Financial. Learn more, dial 888-400-1884. Appreciate you dialing in and telling others about the program. Next week's guest is Jerry Alt of Logs, talking about a guy who's overcome things that couldn't be done. You will want to listen to next week's program. Also, the week after that, we're going to have Jay Brinkman, December 19th, the chief economist for the MBA will be on the radio program. Very excited about that program. Folks, have a great week. Look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, combined